Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So everybody's wondering, who's going to replace Devontae Adams? Ayahuasca.
I just want some ayahuasca for myself.
Sometimes I think you're on it, Mike.
Today's guests, the batting stance guy, Guy Reines, host of the Sick Podcast from the NFL Network, Adam Rank, UFC play-by-play announcer, Sir Brendan Fitzgerald, plus Big Ten Network host Dave Revson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
It's actually Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen, and it's actually Gar Reines, the batting stance guy, although he is the batting stance guy, Gar Reines. I'm filling in for Rich Eisen. It's just me, Randy Sklar. Jason's on his way, or if he's there already, to the French Alps. He's hiking around Mont Blanc. He's so lucky. I'll be there later tonight. But we're here. I'm so excited. We have a new show on UFC Fight Pass called The Nosebleeds.
Yes.
And the first episode is up for free on YouTube. You guys can check that out. But hey, we're streaming right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 85. I listen to it all the time. It's so fun to be behind the desk. Brockman's here. Mike's here. TJ's here. The guests we have today are fantastic. Gar Reines, I could sit and talk to him for an hour straight. The trade deadline with baseball and MLB, there's so many big moves. He was in San Diego to watch Juan Soto's first at ABs there, which were incredible. And so we'll get into all that stuff with him. Obviously, football. Brockman, you watched the Hall of Fame game yesterday.
I watched every single second of it.
I can't believe you.
Not because I'm a huge football fan, because I bet the under.
Dude, because you were like, it's raining, there's going to be bad QB play. But then you were like, wait a minute, the Raiders are good.
The Raiders are good, and they're running all over Jacksonville.
Wait a minute.
Was like a 45-minute delay because of lightning in Canton last night. It was pouring down rain. Trevor Lawrence's hair still looked perfect.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, I was like, dude, was he recording a Pert and Pert Plus 2-in-1 commercial sideline? His hair's way too good.
Yeah, it's way too good.
Tony Baselli, come on. Tony Baselli walks out there. You're like, God, that guy's, I mean, I remember when he was the first pick ever. Of the Jacksonville
ever.
Jaguars.
Yep,
he was the guy. The talk about a franchise guy. That's the beginning to end. You're the first pick ever for a franchise that needed somebody, and you start with an offensive lineman, which everyone's like, who? Back in the day, no one knows who the offensive linemen are.
Right.
Nobody knows this guy. This giant 6'7", 330-pound guy is going to be the future of our team. Don't you feel like fan bases, when they pick a lineman, a tackle or something, they're not happy?
It's always like, oh,
hey, I guess.
Cool.
That's like the person at the record store who knows more about like the bands than anyone who walks in. You know what I mean? You're like, well, I just want a Coldplay album. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, they're judging
it. And they're like, but this right here is the best thing you'll ever hear in your life. And then they like to let you know that they know more about it. So that's exactly what teams are when they pick the offensive lineman. And so you see Baselli, great career, and then go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, we talked about this when we were on the show yesterday. Our mom grew up in Canton, Ohio. We would go there every year, and our dad was too cheap to take us to the Hall of Fame. You guys have been to the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame's nice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hall of Fame is super cool.
The Hall of Fame is amazing.
Yeah.
But like the games themselves, this game was just, and most preseason games, but I feel like people are excited about the Hall of Fame game. They put it on TV. It's a big deal. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. You get the Hall of Famers out there to flip coins and all that other stuff. And then you're looking at these two guys who are like practice squad dudes as the quarterback. It's just, I don't know. It's not as fun to me.
Yeah, not as fun. I guess it's one of those things where when it's been 5 months without football, you're just kind of excited to see guys in helmets, the uniforms. Doug Peterson's out there not wearing a visor. Upset. I lost that bet as well.
Doug Peterson to me is fat John Hamm. Right? He's Fat Ham. Fat Ham. Fat Ham, Doug Peterson. I love Fat Ham. Peterson's great. He won a Super Bowl, for Christ's sake.
Of course.
Beat the Patriots. Like, give him some credit. Did it with the most Philadelphia-named quarterback ever. So Philly has the accent where you swallow the L's.
Right.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Nick Foles. I swallow all of my L's. Huge Foles fan. So, I mean, that... He had a great moment with that. You're like, maybe he can do it again down there in Jacksonville. I don't know.
It was awesome. It was good to see the Raiders. Raider Nation always shows up. It's one of those things, even if they don't have a Hall of Famer, so they have Cliff Branch going in this year.
Yes.
So obviously they were showing up and showing out for that. But like I said, rain, the stadium's great. Mike, you've been there. The new stadium, the new construction that's going on in Canton.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
It's just nice to see it back. I know with the quality of play, you're not really expecting much, but...
It's that feeling of, like, remember when there was no sports because of the pandemic?
Right.
And you just didn't know anything? And then they put on ESPN, they did horse between, like...
Yeah, the NBA players.
Yeah, NBA and WNBA players. And that was the moment at which you realized how the pay disparity, where, like, Mike Conley Jr. is, like, playing in basically a practice gym in the back of his house, and, like, a WNBA player is playing, like, on a hoop in their driveway in Indianapolis in, like, just a simple subdivision. I was like, come on, this is terrible. Like, she's contending with wind. Mike Conley Jr. has a climate-controlled gym and, like, a ball machine that's feeding him stuff. And, like, there are people, like, other kids from other balls from other yards are going through the shot. We're like, this is on ESPN. But still, you're so starved for it. You were excited that it's back. So we're going to talk. So, listen, there's so much stuff to get into today. You were like, this is going to go by so fast. And it really will. The truth of the matter is, we're going to get into later. We're going to talk about the LIV Golf because it is insane. I really want to get into... The LIV golfers are suing the PGA for suspending them, which is just fascinating. We'll get into that later, maybe bottom of this hour. We're going to talk MMA. We'll talk about with Brendan Fitzgerald, who's amazing, if you guys don't know who he is. But first, let's talk about football is really on everybody's mind. I mean, the NFL is back. Preseason is back. People are going to start to draft their fantasy leagues soon. Are you starting soon to draft?
I've already been thinking about who I'm going to keep. I'm in a keeper league. We talk about my league kind of a lot on this show because it's absurd. I have a draft that takes 8-9 hours. There's no time limits.
And I'm sure your wife, Sarah, and your kid feel great about that too. Where's dad? He's doing something that means nothing for 9 hours.
Literally means they're actually going out of town this weekend. The draft is at my house this year.
Oh my God.
So we travel to the city of the team that wins the Super Bowl and we all kind of gather.
That's so nice.
We've been to Denver and Baltimore. We went to Tampa last year.
Yeah.
So we talk about my draft kind of more than we should, TJ. I know you know everyone's kind of over it, but I have already begun thinking about who I'm keeping
and
the strategy and what I want to do with my quarterback situation.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm so immersed in fantasy already, and it's like still 3 weeks away.
Let me ask you this. Does anyone in their right mind take Deshaun Watson just even as a bench option?
I don't know.
This guy see the field this year? Because he gets 6 games suspended from a court, I guess, or court ordered 6, and the league is not happy with it. The league is like, he should be out for a year, which I personally agree. I agree that he should be out for a year. I just do, because the NFL is your place of work. It's your business. If you do something wrong or you do something bad, your place of work, it's a lower bar to clear than the law itself. Okay. Let's just, you know, if you do something that the office is like, this is not a good thing. If there's a guy in your break room at work, in your office room, who just, he doesn't bring lunch. He just sits there and watches other people eat their lunch. It's not against the law. But you're like, this guy's creeping everybody out. Like, get somebody, suspend him. Get him out of here for a few weeks. Send him on a non-paid vacation. I think most people in the office would be cool with that. I'm saying that, like, the league has the right to be like, all right, one massage therapist saying that you've done something wrong. Okay? I understand you can dispute that claim. Two, now I'm starting to get suspicious. 30 people filing claims against you. At that point, it's like time to hire an escort and teach her how to massage. You know what I mean? Like, that's the, to me, I was so surprised that the Browns picked him, that he went to the Browns. I would have thought that he would have gone to the Predators.
Hey-o!
I know he doesn't play hockey, but darn it, doesn't that feel like the right team for this guy to go to? I mean, so now I guess I'm going to be Carolina Panthers fan because I love Schadenfreude, and you want Baker Mayfield to rise up and have a great year. I mean, is that where we're all sitting at this point?
I forget. Are you guys Browns fans originally?
No.
Or?
So we were St. Louis Cardinals season ticket holders year after year.
Neil Lomax.
So Neil Lomax, but pre-Neil Lomax, Jim Hart.
Right.
Pat Tilly. Not Pat Tillman, Pat Tilly. He never served anywhere. He never did anything for his country, but he was a good wide receiver. Roger Worley his son played baseball with us. But like, we were huge Cardinals fans, but every year they were terrible, terrible. Dan Dierdorf met him and knew him and just great guy. But like, they were 5-11 every year. I remember we had a kicker named Novo Bojovic.
God bless you.
Thank you. Soccer player who one time kicked a 52-yard field goal, ran into the end zone and spiked the ball. I was like, act like you've been there before. So Jay and I have this new show on, as I mentioned before, the Nosebleeds on UFC Fight Pass. There are a couple of billboards up around.
Oh, there's a gigantic one. I was going up to Fox yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw you guys like
you're
this.
You're like, my guys.
Right at the 405.
Right on the 405 there. It's awesome.
My guys.
He's on the show. He's with us tomorrow.
So I go, there's one on Sunset right by the Comedy Store, right at Sunset and Kings Road, which is a great spot for us.
Oh,
there's
right.
That. So there it is, yep, right there. So that gigantic, these stupid looking awesome mugs on the top of the thing. And I brought my daughter there, and we're like filming me, and she does like a hilarious sketch. She's my daughter who's here today, 17 years old. She's going to be a senior, performing arts high school, wants to be a director. And she like wrote this little sketch for us to do. And it was so funny. She was like, hey dad, she's filming. Is that, that guy looks like you on that billboard. And then her friend walks by and is like, I don't know, I don't see it. And then I turn around, I'm like, yeah, that's Jason. So that was the sketch, okay? And then I realized I'm standing there filming a thing where I'm then on the, it's like, act like you've been there before.
Sure.
I kicked a 52-yard field goal and I spiked the ball.
You never have to act.
So that's what I grew up with, the Cardinals, and then I left St. Louis, and then the Rams came, and then the Rams won, and I was just happy for St. Louis. They weren't really my team, but I was happy for St. Louis that they had won, and then the Rams came back here, and you know how it is. It's like, it's your team only when if they lose, it ruins your weekend. Right? Like, if they lose and you're kind of like, all right, let's go do something else. Like, if you don't care. Like, if Michigan loses, I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I'm like, this is when I should get my grocery shopping done. So I'm going to just be pushing people out of the way. I don't care. People are reaching for items that I want. I'm going to yank them. I'll yell at a baby. You know what I mean? I'll yell at a baby. Keep it down. No one asked your opinion on this. That's if your team, if you're a fan of a team.
Right.
So I don't really have one now. You know what I mean? So, but I would root for Baker Mayfield. I would root for this guy to succeed. I root for the Carolina Panthers to make it because I'm like, Browns, what are you doing? Because let's talk about that. You know, that division, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be as good. Obviously, no Roethlisberger. I mean, they have a decent defense. They always are going to have some Pittsburgh magic. But I don't know if they're going to be good. We just don't know. I think they're going to be down. The Ravens are one Lamar Jackson outside the pocket run away from having a pretty mediocre team if he gets hit or injured. Like, what? Cincinnati will be great, yes. But I thought the Browns were on the precipice of making the playoffs almost every year. Do you agree or disagree? Am I in the right here?
Agree. They have a really good team. They have a really great roster. Good defense. Miles Garrett. Jadeveon Clowney. They got a great run
Chubb
game. Nick Chubb is fantastic. Kareem Hunt is there.
Yes.
DJ. So we talk about the Browns. We think, oh, man, this is a really good roster. They're a quarterback away, it seemed like.
Baker wasn't the answer. He was not.
It just seemed like he wasn't going to be the guy to win a Super Bowl. Could he win you a playoff game? Yes, he did that.
Right.
But to get to the next level, you need that upper echelon tier quarterback.
You need to fire Doug Collins and bring in
Phil Jackson. Right, exactly.
You have to have that vision to get rid of this guy.
They're there. People think the roster is good enough to
compete.
Right. It's, you know, can we get this one missing piece? And it's like, well, let's go get the guy with 30 lawsuits. ending.
Let's go. Let's go. Like, I mean,
why?
Remember, like, we can't have Colin Kaepernick around because we can't have Michael Sam because he's going to ruin the locker room and this and that. You're like, okay, we're going to invite this guy in with all this controversy. So even if he does play, that's going to be every question. Like, have you been to a, and we'll talk about this later, to a LIV golf tournament press conference? No one's asking how's the putting surfaces, okay? Everybody's got other questions. Why are you taking that blood money? It's like the first question out of everybody's mouth, you know? And so don't you think that's going to dominate every press conference that Deshaun Watson is like, what's going on with all these accusations
every
against you?
One.
Who would want to invite that into their locker room and into the mix?
Oh, I know. The Cleveland Browns.
is this just a case of the Browns being the Browns?
It in a weird way, it just feels like Brown's going to Brown again. Like, they gave
Brown's
him the most guaranteed money in an NFL contract ever.
Yeah.
Why? You didn't have to
For that guy.
For that guy.
That's a guy you say, if the Browns did this, if they're like, we're going to put him, this guy, I know he's talented, but we're going to put him on a league minimum contract, like a rookie minimum contract.
Make him earn it.
We know he's talented, but he's Gene Hackman who punched a kid over here, and now he's got to clutch high school kids down. You know what I mean? Make him earn it. Make him fight his way back. And if he can do it,
then we'll pay you.
Yeah. I mean, he's no less than 4 passes. Okay, Deshaun Watson, before you can shoot for the end zone. I just think if the Browns were like, look, we got him on the cheap. Like, we got him. We picked up this guy on the cheap, you know, and they could have played it better with Baker and been like, you're our guy.
I just think it's too bad for the city of Cleveland, the fans, the other players on the team, the head coach, Kevin Stefanski. Like, he didn't really ask for this.
No.
It's just, you know, now they have to put up with this. They have to put up the questions, the stink of this guy in their organization who apparently just doesn't seem to be like a good guy. Doesn't seem like to be the guy we all thought he was when he first came in the league, his first couple of years in Houston. And so it's just kind of a major bummer all around.
And you think about your quarterback, truthfully, this on the most basic level, he is the guy to make all the right decisions for you. And you talk about Tom Brady and you're like, that guy just makes all the right decisions. Aaron Rodgers, when he's not doing ayahuasca, making all the right decisions. Or maybe he is making the right decision.
Maybe that helps him.
Maybe it is. And maybe he knows something that we don't know. And I wouldn't put it past Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers. So, like, the truth of, like, he makes a lot of great decisions on the football field. If you're like, this guy's making all these bad decisions off the football field, getting himself in situations that we're, again, like, no one else has 30 lawsuits against them from 30 separate masseuses. Like, come on. This is an unheard of thing. And would we trust that guy to run our offense? I don't know. I just don't know.
You trust him to be the face of your franchise because that's what the quarterback is.
And what you paid him to be, which is just insane. There's Cowboys stuff that I want to talk about, but I think we should probably go to break right now.
Yeah, let's get to break.
We'll talk
some baseball.
We'll talk some baseball. This is Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock on NBC Sports. Guys, I got to say this. I love this. When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better. It made everyone better. Men, women, babies who played golf, or first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers. The Chrome Soft family has the best tour performance for every type of performance, starting with the regular Chrome Soft, which is designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel. I need that. More distance. I need that. Incredible forgiveness. I need that from my family. Can we get that out there? But for better players looking for more workability, Chrome Soft X provides excellent spin consistency, tour level short game control. Finally, Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with high spin around the greens. And now every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. That's amazing. This ensures that the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. When you add it all up, it's pretty simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. We'll be back with Gar Reines, the batting stance guy, right after this. All right, everybody, we are back. What a great opening segment. Enjoy it. It's it's an exciting time for sports as football's coming back, college football's coming back. But a big week for baseball this past week. Trade deadlines, some huge deals went down, some kind of insignificant deals went down. But to make sense of it all, I bring in my guy. My guy, this is my dude. He knows so much about baseball and does it in ways that I don't think anybody else is doing. We're, of course, talking about the batting stance guy, Gar Reines.
Woo! Great to have the Sklar brothers neutralized.
Right?
One-on-one.
You get one. It's not a two-on-one break.
I've always been like a tall, gangly Sklar.
Right? You're like a more ethnic-looking Sklar, yeah. If that could even be possible. Hugh, obviously, the biggest news is who is going to win the Juan Soto sweepstakes, yeah. And it was the San Diego Padres. We were at the All-Star game together this year, mm-hmm. And we were like, where's he going to go? And you said Padres, because your brother-in-law and his son are the biggest Padres fans ever. Up from Temecula, they're wearing their Padres gear at Dodger Stadium. I'm like, you guys, be careful. I know it's an All-Star game, but like, be careful. But you're like, he could go to the Padres, he could go to the Mets. And it could go to the Yankees, you said, but Padres is where he landed. Surprised, excited. This is now the best young 1-2 punch in all of baseball, in my opinion.
Totally surprised, because there's a lot of people that weren't watching Nationals games over the last few years.
Yeah.
And so they may not be familiar with Juan Soto. Rank and file, West Coaster.
Right.
If you said, hey, remember when Kershaw came out of the pen in the winner take all game 5 in 2019 against them? Remember when he came in and gave up a home run to Rendon and then a guy hit a ball out of the stadium? Yeah, I remember that. That was Juan Soto. Yeah.
And it was like 15 at the time.
Yeah.
This is what I said. I said Danny Almonte,
yeah,
when he illegally pitched in Little League, was older than Juan Soto when he started in Major League Baseball. Right?
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And he was the reason that the Nats were able to let Harper go, because basically they had a cheaper, better model that was going to be, you know, the outfielder. So the historical context on Juan Soto becoming available,
right?
There's never been an all-star under 24 available mid-year like this.
Right.
It's like they don't, like, players usually don't come up at 19, so they don't have the, and they usually haven't turned down, you know, $440 million mm-hmm. contracts. Mm-hmm. And so then the Nationals are like going to probably sell their team and they're not going to be good for the remainder of his contract.
It was like, go back to Montreal. I'm just putting that out there in the world.
It was the perfect storm to where there's no, it was like when Ohtani came over, it's like, hey, this 23-year-old star from Japan, what should we pay him? It's like, there's never been a 23-year-old from Japan that's come over.
Who's
like, it's all been
done.
Like 27 and up. So
this was
unprecedented. So I was hoping that the desperate teams like the Padres, the Mariners, like mm-hmm. teams that they don't have a shot to get a guy like this unless they draft him or, you know, bring him up to the system.
Right.
I was like, trade all your prospects. I know prospect. I mean, Trey Turner was traded away as a prospect to get Will Myers. So the Padres, Corey Kluber, they've gotten rid of a lot of really good guys.
That's
The Padres, I saw a stat where the Dodgers in the last 2 years have won 19 playoff games. The Padres in their entire existence have won 14 playoff games.
Wow.
So 2 years of Dodgers.
Have won more than...
Yeah, so enough with the parade route down the Gaslamp District. Like, let's win. But the Padres are... I mean, so I went down there for whatever, opening night. The first game that they all played 2 nights ago, for anyone that's ever been to a game in San Diego, Petco Park is amazing. It's a great place to watch a game.
And were there Juan Soto Padres jerseys already?
Not only were there Soto jerseys already, but it was packed before the game starts. And
oh,
it was,
look at that.
It was
two guys in Juan Soto and then the Machado guy in a bucket hat, of course.
Jammed. It was jammed. And the Padre fans will, I feel your pain. Padres fans know that, like, generally when there is a highlight,
there's no one there.
It's like the Cubs fans are the ones cheering. So there'll be a walk-off home run for the Padres. Well, they'll be like booze because a lot of people are from San Francisco or they didn't grow up. I don't know.
And also San Diego's a lovely place to visit. Here's my question. Is San Diego too chill for people to like actually, or did you see a little bit of San Diego aggression?
I saw Wednesday was we have the shot. We have a shot that we've, because I still thought it might be like half empty. I didn't know. And then I could tell the standing room only seats were like $50. So I thought, like, oh my, that says, and there was no, like, it wasn't like a, you know, tequila giveaway. I mean, it was people were there because they wanted to see Soto. And then when Soto ran out to the field, the whole right field bleachers, I mean, that's never crowded. Up top, completely it's never crowded. And everyone was Soto.
Oh my
Soto.
God, I mean, it was exciting.
Buzz. It was crazy buzz. The only time I've been in that stadium where there was a similar kind of excitement amazing. Was, do you remember in the World Baseball Classic,
yes.
the Adam Jones catch?
Yes.
So that was Dominican versus... And that there was a lot of buzz, but also it was like Dominican flag, drum. It was
exciting.
Like manic, crazy buzz, right. but it wasn't really like go Padres. And the whole stadium is brown and yellow. And if you're going to pick colors for your team, definitely have it be poo and pee. Cause you want to make sure that's the look that you have. But I
love the old school Padres, like the 80s Padres, Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
I could have been a star in any leagues, you know, those
Gene
jerseys.
Richards.
Yeah. They're almost like a drop. Yeah. Gene Richards, like a drop shadow.
Oh yeah.
On the actual name. That was like my favorite uniform. It was just incredible. It was so 80s.
Another fun was the Padres. So never in the history of baseball have there been two stars in the same league at the same time that finished the MVP race in the top three that were under 23 years old. I know that's amazing. A lot of like math equation.
Sure.
Ferris's, my cousin's former roommate's best friend.
So
last year, Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis Jr., both in the NL, finished in the top three in NL MVP.
Yep.
They were both last year under 23. It's never happened where that's happened in the same league at the same time. And now those two are teammates at the very least for the next three Octobers. Because Soto is signed. I'm saying this now, Padre fans. I do not think Juan Soto will re-sign for $500 million via Scott Boris with the Padres. So
I think he goes to the Yankees.
Yeah,
or the
I think for $1 billion he goes to the Dodgers.
Right,
there's like a couple teams that's not the Padres.
The Dodgers. Ugh.
But here's the thing. What do the Padres care? They have an amazing pitching staff.
Yeah.
They're top, if Snell pitches good, which he did the other night, they're top four, and I'm not even putting Snell in the four, like
he's
are great.
Even, they're all Manaya, the
like they're all good. They're all good enough to go toe to toe with the Braves, the Dodgers, the Mets.
Right.
So why not go all in, put all the chips in. They threw in that trade, they threw in, AJ Preller threw in the best, basically kind of like the top three prospects, Tony Hawk, the Channel 4 news team.
Tony Hawk
everything
is in there too? And the Channel 4 news
team. Everything from San Diego
like,
is in.
Las Cuatro, one of the grandmothers who make tacos at Las Cuatro Milpas.
When Hosmer said no, they had to throw in Luke Voigt and Blink 182.
I can't believe Blink 182.
And they're in.
So all the small things.
Yeah, hey. Why not? And there's no nice. Parade for your farm system.
Right. So it's winning now versus the future.
What do the Padres have to? I mean, what do they have to lose?
They have nothing to lose. And fine, you spent a lot of money on this guy for a few years, but you saw the stadium packed in a way that it's never been.
It was so fun. If you get a chance to, if you held your money for COVID and you didn't go to Italy like everybody's gone the last month, if you're not hiking the Alps later to this week. Go to San Diego. Petco Park is
one of my favorite parks.
There's a wiffle ball stadium
behind
in left field.
Have you been there?
I've been.
And Padres staffers pitch to the kids. The kids line
it's
up.
The coolest.
Now that happens in some other stadiums, but then there's this lawn like you're at the like Concord Pavilion watching Seal in 1991. I mean, there is this lawn that goes up, and then the Tony Gwynn statue's there. It's like this amphitheater where you oversee you can make, kids can make sandcastles just beyond center field.
They're like, we want to take care of the, San Diego
it's gorgeous. It's not about a seat in the house. It's one of those like smaller.
And right downtown, it's like walking if you're downtown.
Every food item is there.
It's a great stadium. To me, I'm like obviously the two best stadiums, in my opinion, are Fenway Park and Wrigley Field. They're the oldest, they're the most beautiful. I've come and done a 180 on Dodger Stadium. I used to hate it, and now I think it is in the top maybe five or six stadiums in all of baseball. Okay, I used to hate it, but now I kind of love it. But I think, obviously, San Francisco, whatever they're calling it, Pac, remember it was Pac Bell, it's AT&T Park, now it's Oracle.
The most so I've seen a game in every stadium, and the Giants have the best stadium. If you don't factor in 100-year history, if you don't factor in Wrigley, and I mean,
it's the best.
Wrigley and Fenway are for sure one and one.
Incredible
stadium. But I think the Giants is the most beautiful. I'm probably if the Pirates were better, or if
every
it,
so every
see Alcatraz
right would, every vantage point at at the Giants Stadium at Oracle now.
Oh, it's the only stadium where the upper deck are better seats than the lower deck,
because you see out into the bay and you see.
Remember that playoff game? We had really good seats, and it almost was worse. But I would have rather been up because you can see out.
We're sitting down in this playoff game, and we're looking kind of just on the third base side of home plate, and I'm looking out onto above the right field wall, and there's like a mist kind of coming in, and I'm just seeing dudes standing on top of the wall, and I'm thinking to myself, this is what it must have been like in like 1920, 1910, when there were like no fences, but just a bunch of like businessmen like reading newspapers out in right field. It just looked like a line of people standing on top of the wall as you watch this game. There was something timeless about it. So I do love that park, but I will go back to Petco and say it is one of the most beautiful parks ever. So now
it's in the, it's in, especially the neighborhood is great.
So
it's
now
so
you've got a
cool
top five park in the, and now you've got a team that, so what do you do? If you don't pitch to Tatis, you got to pitch to Soto or vice versa. Like one of those guys, they kind of, it's a shame that they'll cancel each
other. Machado's having a great year.
Yeah.
You could make the case that the second best hitter on the market at the trade deadline was Josh Bell. So they, and then, so I get down there. There's buzz like I've never seen before.
Right.
People are cheering the intros. No one's at a Padre game for the intros.
No.
And so Soto walks four pitches on first. And then Josh Bell walks. So now Brandon Drury, who's like the third, because they got Josh Hader too. Brandon Drury, he's having he's kind of a journeyman, and then has a 20 homer, amazing year so far with the Reds.
John Hader from Napoleon Dynamite.
No, Josh Hader.
Oh, the left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, long hair. Yeah,
long hair, who's having a rough time. So he's now not on Milwaukee anymore.
Right. So he's on the Padres. So Brandon Drury comes up, and first at bat hits a grand slam.
Right.
The Petco loses its mind. And by the way, Cronenworth's an all-star. So now the thing is, they have these like Profars, and they have
best first
Nola's
name in baseball.
Yeah, they have these guys.
Jurickson.
Trent Grisham. They have these guys that like are hitting in the top five that really should be like 7, 8, 9. Now they are. Now they're 7, 8, 9.
So now those guys are protected because you're gonna get pitches. They want to sort of, it's just great.
This is also a little like Brockman math nerdy, but I love basically all teams in the postseason. And in 2019, probably the most important single play, and Brewer fans and Nationals fans will remember this, was in the wild card game. Josh Hader was unhittable. Mm-hmm. Brewers were kind of winning by a lot. I don't know if you remember this. Juan Soto hits a hard base hit to at least score a run to the outfield. Trent Grisham, who's come in to kind of replace Yelich because he was hurt, misses the ball and it rolls all the way to the fence.
That's right.
And then because of that, Grisham gets traded because Brewer's like, we don't want him around anymore. Gets traded, goes to the Padres. So now all three of those players involved are on the Padres.
That's amazing.
The most important play of 2019. So when you even talk about
all three of those guys,
Hader, Soto, and Grisham are all in the game for the Padres.
So
that's as close as the Padres get to a big postseason moment.
So just combining the players.
Two of their players screwed up in the wild card game for a different team.
Well, but this might be the Padres' year to overtake a team like the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are a juggernaut, but Padres are definitely making the playoffs now. Definitely making the playoffs. I think you might see three playoff teams from the West.
Again, let's chill. Last year, without Soto. Last year, the Padres had the best record through 50 games.
That's right.
And then missed the playoffs with a losing record. I mean,
I know.
It's really hard to win. It's really hard to win consistently.
Right.
Even that, the Padres lost the next day to the Rockies. It's hard to win consistently. So what the Padres have done is they've, on paper, put themselves in a spot where I don't think it's crazy that the Padres win one of the next three World Series.
They're now, 12 and a half
it's
games
always
behind
crazy.
The Dodgers, by the way. They're 12 and a half. So.
Yeah. But Kershaw's back hurt. They didn't get a pitch. Are you? Are you saying the pot?
They're 2.5 up in the wild card.
So 2.5 up in the wild card.
They're in the wild card.
They're in the wild card right now. And you see them probably over time playing better baseball down the stretch.
Their World Series odds cut in half because of the Soto trade. They were like 22-1 before. They're now 10-1.
10-1. And by the way, you know, it would be amazing. It would be amazing to see them in the World Series.
It would be amazing. And I think the silver lining for the Dodgers is there was a world where they just ran away with this division, didn't really work on stuff.
Right.
And I think the Padres will have to like light a fire. They got to make sure that like
they may make the Dodgers better.
I think so. I think the Dodgers will get caught if they just kind of believe their own press clippings.
Got to get Tatis back and have him back doing Tatis things.
Yeah, I mean, they've done this without Tatis and basically without Soto.
When could he potentially get back, do we think?
It's supposed to be August.
Yeah, he took some BP, I think, earlier this
week. Yeah, he's like, time. I mean, that actually guy's swinging.
He's the most fun player. He's like so, yeah. He's so enjoyable. Like, he should be the face of baseball
100%.
Moving forward. Not that Juan Soto shouldn't. I think it's so funny because I'm like, Tatis is a better ambassador for the game.
Yeah, well, and Soto's good at kind of the things that the East Coast doesn't appreciate about Mike Trout. The numbers, mm-hmm. like, I think Soto's career on base percentage is like 427. That's like Tris Speaker, Ty Cobb. That's better than Mickey Mantle. That's like 15 spots better than Mike Trout. You know, like he's
insane.
428, Gar. 428. I mean, come on.
I love you, Gar Reines. At Batting Stance Guy on Instagram, at Batting Stance Guy on TikTok. Follow him on TikTok. He's amazing.
Wow.
The TikTok team, he was designed, chemically engineered for TikTok. And then on Twitter, at Batting Stance G. His book is a love letter to baseball. It's so great.
50 greatest stances of my lifetime.
And just incredible. I love you, dude. I highly recommend people go online and watch his appearance on David Letterman. It wasn't as fun as this, but you were amazing. You had Letterman cracking up the whole time. You're the best. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk live golf. This is Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on Peacock. Welcome back, everybody. Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen. Rich is in Canton, I believe, for the Hall of Fame inductions, which is awesome. I spent many a summer in Canton as a youth, never going to the Football Hall of Fame because our dad was too cheap. Which, as a dad now, I'm like, I fall into all of those things. Like, well, I'll come home and my entire family is like sweating. The dogs are panting and they're like, can we please turn on the air? I'm like, it's only 89 out. And 95 upstairs in our house. So I totally have become that person. We have a new show that is out on, for all of the fans of Cheap Seats, okay? Fans of ours who are like, I want you to bring back Cheap Seats. I really want you to do it. We have not found the right place to do it until now. UFC Fight Pass. The first episode is up for free on UFC's YouTube page. If you go to our Instagram, at Sklar Brothers, we have the link in our bio. You can watch the first episode of The Nosebleeds. It is fantastic. It's Cheap Seats, but for old, weird UFC footage. I love it so much. Guest appearances by Jon Hamm, Andy Richter, Tony Emmy Award-winning Tony Hale from Veep and Arrested Development. Sarah Tiana, the great Sarah Tiana, makes an appearance in one of the sketches. Rob Corddry. So there's sketches, and it's us, you know, breaking down this footage. Brendan Fitzgerald, who we'll have later on the show in hour two, he does a fantastic thing that I showed Brockman earlier. It's all good stuff. All right, I want to talk about the Live Golf thing because we teased it a little bit before. We don't have a ton of time here, but like, you read, Brockman, of the stuff coming out of the lawsuit. So just to set it up, so the Live Golfers,
wild.
They go in, and I'll be clear up front the way I feel about it, but I'm confused. We talked about this off air. I'm confused about it. The Live Golf experiment, if you want to call it, is 100% the Saudi government trying to sports wash the brutal killing of an American journalist. That's what it is. We have to speak it out loud. I feel that way. That is my opinion. That's a lot of people's opinion. And if you're going to take millions and millions and millions of dollars, know that it's you're saying my reputation as a golfer is now going to help people be like, they're not so bad.
Right.
They have Sergio. How could they be such a bad
Lee, you know, Westwood?
Lee Westwood. Louis Oosthuizen. They have these people. Oosthuizen to me sounds like a very Yiddish phrase of like when you're playing golf and you completely miss hit it, you're like, Oosthuizen? You kind of got to go up a little bit at the end. So you know, those guys, that's what I believe that they're doing. But then, of course, I'm confused because guys like David Faraday, who I love so much, who I would literally go to the mat for all that. He is one of my favorite people in all of sports. Leaves. I think he was at CBS and then leaves to go and join the Live Golf. And I don't know what to do with that. I really don't, Brockman. I don't know what to do with that because I love the guy. I mean, I want to find out more about it, but like,
yeah, we kind of said the same thing about Charles Barkley.
Barkley.
He was flirting with Liv last week. It's like, we love these guys. We've known them. They've been in our lives for so long. And then what do we do? How are we supposed to feel when they jump to this other tour to, like you said, kind of take money to help, you know, this government.
Help divert attention from a terrible thing that this government did.
Just like, hey, don't pay attention to this, but we're doing golf and we're
look at all these
we're
tournaments.
Paying everybody so much money. Look at the cool private jet we're taking, Mike.
I know
what I mean? So it's like,
By the way,
it's a bummer.
No tradition. I mean, as soon as Jack Nicklaus said, I won't be the face of it, you knew Tiger wasn't going to.
Right.
Because what does Tiger care only about is chasing Jack Nicklaus. Right. That's it. You know, that's the only thing he really cares about is I want a 18 major. That's all he cares. 18. So anyway.
So this lawsuit, you know, came out this week and it kind of golf.com published this article about some of the surprising things that were revealed in it. You know, it's 105 pages. So
They kind of
come through all of it. But yeah, you know, not everyone who's involved with Liv is in the lawsuit.
That's right.
There's only 11 golfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau are two of the biggest names.
Yeah.
Along with Abraham Ancer and Taylor Gooch are two young, you know, kind of up and coming guys. One of the big revelations, though, is that Phil was suspended by the tour. A lot of people didn't know that. They were speculating. You know, he did not play at Augusta this year.
Right.
And people wondering why. Was he just taking time off?
Let
the heat die down. But no, he was suspended by the tour.
Right.
And now for 2 years because he played in the London event. That's kind of a big thing to come out.
So the thing of it is
Bryson
like,
DeChambeau actually agreed to join Live Tour in February.
Yeah.
And then later got pressured to put out a statement saying that he was pledging allegiance to the PGA Tour, which was not true at all.
Which was like reading like a hostage statement. Hello, I'm pledging allegiance to... I mean, it's...
Yeah, they're pulling quotes from guys from 3-4 years ago about how unique and special and exclusive the PGA Tour is to kind of help prove their point. And then at the end of the day, we're still waiting to see what Augusta National is going to do.
If they ban
these guys from playing in the Masters next year, then, you know, we know it's not going anywhere.
I mean, it's like if you're... It's we only have a couple of seconds here, but it's like if you cheat on your wife with a mistress who is now your sugar mama, and then you want to sue your wife for making you sleep on the couch. That's essentially what this feels like. Listen, top of our two, we've got Adam Rank. We're going to talk a little football and fantasy. We'll do that top of our two, everybody. But I would say this about the LIV Golf is that you really don't have a leg to stand on. And Tiger said it when he said, you know, there's no, what's the incentive to win tournaments and to get better when you already have the money?
Yeah,
you
to grind, improve. Hey, I got to work on my short game. My putting needs work.
Yeah.
I'm chasing records. I'm chasing legacy. With LIV Golf, there is none of that. It
so
means
not,
nothing.
You're not, there are no, there isn't like the, you know, San Antonio Classic that's just started that you're like, no one really cares if you've won it several years in a row. There's no history, but like winning the Masters and winning the U.S. Open, obviously the U.S. Open, anybody can play it, but like winning the Masters, winning the PGA, those are things that if you do that a certain amount of time, people judge you by the majors. It's like tennis. They judge you by your grand slams.
Right.
They judge you by your majors. And, you know, they're a great golfer. It's so funny that Greg Norman would be the guy to lead Liv because he was the guy that lost so many majors. I mean, he won a couple of British Opens.
He did.
And by the way, that's amazing. But it like Norman just seems like that guy. Norman's a guy who like he's like an older guy who works out a lot at the gym. I'm like, I saw like a picture of Norman. I'm like, he's too jacked.
He's shredded.
He's too old to be that jacked. Something you're not caring about something. And part of it was your relationship with Chris Everett. But I mean, because that went by the wayside. But like you're working out too much. You've got a lot of aggression. And now all that aggression is going towards the PGA.
Yeah, and he's had a long time beef with the PGA Tour. You know, this dates back 25 years. He's been trying to start a rival league. And now he's finally got the funding from,
he's got it.
You know, obviously terrible individuals. So,
Yeah, I mean, and so I, again, the crazy thing is seeing guys that you love and respect making this jump over there. That makes it a confusing thing for you, because you're like, now I'm in a really tough spot, because I'll support David Faraday wherever he goes. I just will.
Does this mean I can't like Paulino Gretzky's Instagram posts anymore?
Are the Saudis going to do with that? You're going to tell her to put clothes on? Put more clothes on, because that fits with what our society is. You're going to curb Paulina Gretzky. Call the great one and ask him how that went for him. Right. He's been trying to do it since she was 12 years old. You can't do it. That's going to be the interesting thing. Can the Saudis control Dustin Johnson's wife? I have no idea. There is so much to talk about. We're going to get to the Cowboy stuff later, TJ. I promise you. We got Adam Rank on the other side, and then Brendan Fitzgerald. This is Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show, NBC Sports, and on Sirius XM 85. We'll see you after the break.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.